Welcome to Insight Mind Body Talk, a body-based mental health podcast. We're your hosts, Jessica Warpola-Schultz
and Jeannie Kolker.
Whether you've tried everything to feel better and something is still missing,
or you've already discovered the wisdom of the body,
this podcast will encourage and support you in healing old wounds, strengthening relationships, and developing your inner potential.
All by accessing the mind-body connection.
Please know, while we're excited to share and grow together, this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for mental health treatment. It doesn't replace the one-on-one relationship you have with a qualified healthcare professional and is not considered psychotherapy.
Thanks, Jess, and thank you for listening. Now let's begin a conversation about what happens when we take an integrative approach to improving our well-being. Welcome to Insight Mind Body Talk. Today, our theme is going to be one of my favorite topics, the subtle energy system, otherwise known as the chakras. Welcome. So today, Jess and I are going to be talking about psychology and energy and all sorts of really interesting ways to integrate mind, body, and spirit in our own lives and also, you know, in the therapeutic relationship too.
Yeah, I've been excited to record this episode. I don't know that much about chakras, and yet, you know, you see the information kind of out there. And I have a lot of friends and colleagues who talk about energy flow, and I'm excited to learn about what you have to share.
Wonderful. Well, I'm excited about this too, Jess, but I always want to make sure that we're starting from a place of humility. So I will start with an acknowledgement. I'm a certified yoga therapist. I've had a lot of years of training in yoga philosophy, in addition to, you know, the master's in mental health counseling and my license. And I want to make sure that I'm giving credit where it's due. So I'd like to acknowledge that we're using this knowledge passed down through the system of yoga. And these are traditions that date back thousands of years, coming from South Asia. This is a time for us to acknowledge our privilege as white, non-disabled people with access to resources that allow us to study and integrate these important principles. I also want to mention that I use the work of Anodea Judith. She's a prolific author and body-centered psychotherapist. And she wrote Eastern Body, Western Mind, which is a book about psychology and the chakra system as a path to the self. So I just want to make sure that, you know, people understand that I'm borrowing from these traditions that are both, you know, coming from the East, but also, you know, we're going to try to integrate that into the West and our education. You know, Jess, you've got some extensive experience in developmental psychology. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking about, you know, Piaget, Erik Erikson, these other authorities who've passed down information about human development. So I just think it's important that, you know, we start there.
Definitely. And I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
Of course. All right. So you said you don't really know much about chakras.
No. I mean, I'll sometimes ask people, oh, that's a really pretty necklace. Why are you wearing, you know, and they'll say, yeah, oh, this stone is actually opening up, you know, this aspect of my chakra or that. And it's the energy work. It's always fascinated me, but it's just not something I've, you know, really looked into until we were going to record this episode. Mm-hmm. And so I love this kind of stuff. I love any conduit, any avenue that you can use to discover more about yourself or change, you know, something that maybe feels stuck or that you're working on. And I do believe in the fundamental aspect that our body has this wisdom and that emotions have energy and that there are things that maybe our Western minds aren't tapping into. I don't know everything, right? I never pretend to. So what else is out there in the world that can help us on our path? And that's why I think this is just so interesting. And I honestly, coming from a beginner standpoint, I think a lot of our listeners will want to know more about chakras. Mm-hmm. You know, you told me about when we first brought up the idea of recording this episode, that a lot of it is evidence-based. Like, we're not sitting here talking about foo-foo and woo-woo, even though that stuff can be fun. We would bring that to a mental health podcast unless we had science and evidence behind it as well. And so that aspect, I think, is just really cool.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you and I think we've made it really clear to our listeners that we are, you know, we were believers in science, and the things that we've talked about, you know, polyvagal theory, the way that our bodies hold our trauma, hold our experiences. The chakra system is just another lens through which, you know, we can look through. It's just another way to conceptualize our being, because we are body-centered therapists. We're not just concerned with the mind. We want to talk about mind, body, and then whatever that other thing is, spirit, soul, energy, that is so important when we're talking about healing.
Exactly.
So let's dig in a little bit on the chakra system. It was referred to in the ancient literature of the Vedas and the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. This system is, you know, thousands of years old. It's just a way for us to kind of reconceptualize our experience. And a chakra, actually, that's a Sanskrit word. And I won't speak in Sanskrit very much today. It's a sacred language that we use in yoga. Just for today, I think we'll just kind of keep it in our Western terms, just to make sure that we're honoring this and you know, being very respectful of the system. So a chakra is a wheel or a disc. It refers to an energy center. And that can help us to understand this framework of mind, body, and spirit. So chakras, these wheels or discs, are ways for us to examine energy. So what is energy? Energy could be like a charge. It could be our attention. It could be our awareness. In yoga, we look at it in terms of life force. We call it prana, which is, you know, that the force within us that animates us. It also can be our breath, that subtle energy of our breath. And in yoga, the belief is that we have this energy channel that is analogous to our spinal cord. So really, you know, that is really the seat of our life, right? That spinal cord. Wow. And that is our main line of energy. And there are other channels, though. There are other channels of energy, of course, in our bodies. And in yoga, the belief is that we have these two main channels that kind of wrap around our central channel, our spinal cord. And where those channels intersect with the spine, those are our centers. Those are our seven chakras. And that's the system we're talking about today, is the seven main chakras. There are many other systems that would maybe look at minor chakras in different, you know, locations or wherever we'd like to conceptualize them. But today we're going to talk about those seven main chakras. They store energy. They store our thoughts, our feelings, our memories, our experiences, our actions.
Holy moly.
I know. It's a lot. It's a lot. They direct our mindset, really, our behavior, our emotional health. This is such a rich framework. And that's why I like to talk about this in therapy. Yes, I'm a you know, body-centered therapist and a yoga therapist, but the two can, you know, that really connects. Mm-hmm. And this is a way, and I do this a lot with my clients, is to do the self-exploration of where might there be an imbalance in your life, and where do you notice that in your body? I mean, it's that simple. And then maybe we can talk about, well, you know, is there something that's happening in your heart center that we can identify? And then let's work on how do we bring that into balance? And so this is just a framework. It's just a way of looking at our experience.
I really appreciate that. You know, when I was reviewing the different chakras. So I say chakra because I'm that much of a layman. I just walk through the world saying chakra, but it's chakra.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A chakra. how each one taps into just different things that are happening within you. And it's almost inspirational to read them and get ideas. You know, I really identify with that. What can I do about it? Mm-hmm. That sounds like me, that heart chakra. That sounds like something I have been noticing happening or that feels stuck within. Mm-hmm. And then there's different ways of pursuing that healing or just even thinking about it differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, and these chakras do associate with the nerves along the spinal cord too. So, wow. You know, we talk about how they're located at certain spots, but you know, there isn't really like, I can't like draw a circle on your body and say, this is where,
yeah.
This, you know, it's the locations are fluid and different for each person, but there are these nerve bundles along the spine. And that's where we experience that kind of heightened intense energy for each of these seven centers.
Yeah.
And when you think about it in terms of yoga, you know, it makes a lot of sense. The spine, what do we do in yoga when we do asana, when we do poses? We're always moving our spines. Mm-hmm. We're always manipulating our energies through those spinal movements. And we can target each of these different energy centers in a yoga practice or in just a couple poses. We can use our breath as well. We can use chanting. We can use dance. We can do all these things to tap into these energy centers. And this isn't something, you know, I can't see that you have, you know, an excessive throat chakra, Jess. I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But we could do a little digging and maybe talk about what sort of physical things you have going on, what sort of emotional items or, you know, energies are kind of stuck for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be able to talk about ways to balance, to heal whatever is kind of out of balance in your life.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds so cool.
There's so much literature on this. I get very excited about chakras. I have a whole shelf on my bookshelf of books about the chakras.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Love this stuff. And yes, it is very, very accessible in the realm of yoga, but I really like to take it more into that mental and emotional realm too, so that we can, because, you know, what's our goal here? Our goal is to help people work through their past, work through their present, and just to try to live in more balance. So mm-hmm. this is a way to look at that.
Awesome. Where do we begin? Where do we start?
Well,
sign me up.
Okay. All right. So there are seven energy centers, and it makes sense that we start with our very first. So we can always think about this in terms of psychology too. This is kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. A lot of people understand that, mm-hmm. right? We need the very basic needs of physiology, mm-hmm. right? We need to have
sleep.
To have this body. Well, and this is where, you know, you with all this developmental knowledge, right? What I think you told me your bachelor's is in developmental psych.
Human development, family studies, and yeah, so yeah, human yeah. development.
Yes, and yeah. this is very much, very,
very complementary, because a lot of human development is thinking about not just the physiological or the mental, which of course a lot of it is the cognitive and how we grow and learn, but we're looking at our relationship with ourself and relationship with others across the lifespan in a mm-hmm. way, right? And mm-hmm. it sounds like with the chakras, there's different aspects and different stages, almost the way that it could complement Eric Erickson or Piaget, and that mm-hmm. we develop and change with time. And there seems to be some development around each of these zones in the same way that each stage of human development has some very specific things that show up and mm-hmm. that we work through both physiologically, cognitively, and emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a wonderful way to just conceptualize our experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sneaks its way in to the work that I do with people. And of course, I don't, you know, I don't just like bring it up unless somebody is very interested in this. Typically mm-hmm. people who come to see me are interested in the yoga. They're interested in the body and the, mm-hmm. the just the different approach. But of course, I want people to do this self-exploration so that they can recognize when something is out of balance. And maybe it does, you know, it always goes back to childhood. You know, we always look back at where did things change for me? Where, yeah. what developmental stage, maybe we don't think about it in terms of that, but you know, where did something shift and what can I do to bring balance to that? So,
well, and that's what I love too, because if we can identify maybe something big that happened to us, let's say at age 7, where something mm-hmm. shifted, where there was a divorce or we moved to a new place, when we can look at what happened on our, you know, our lifespan, we can then look at maybe what is showing up for mm-hmm. us in our system at that time and place. We can go back and look up what chakra is associated with that age, or mm-hmm. what dance movement therapy, behavioral rhythm is associated with mm-hmm. that age, what inner child work is associated with that mm-hmm. age. And that means that there's different tools and paths to healing mm-hmm. because sometimes it feels like, well, how do I even work with that if that mm-hmm. happened to me at 7? I'm 41 now. Well, here's some ways you can work with that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So let's look at each of the chakras. So we're going to talk about the main seven chakras. And of course, we start with the root. So the first chakra is the root chakra. And that's our very earliest developmental stage. So it's, you know, from in utero to about 1 year old. And each chakra has a right associated with it, a human right. And this is our right to be, just our right to exist. It's associated with the color red. Each chakra is associated with a color because each wheel or disc vibrates at a certain vibrational level, which is associated with the color. So that root chakra associated with the color red, this is our very earliest years. And each of these chakras is associated with a developmental stage up to, you know, adulthood. And then we kind of reset and start over, you know. So our root chakra is associated with that earliest time where we're just like learning our body, you know, as babies. Mm-hmm. But then if we think about going back to early adulthood, when we've moved through the seven chakras, we kind of start over and we reestablish identity and reestablish yeah. safety and move out and find our way. And so then we kind of go through these phases again in our lives developmentally. So there's a lot to unpack here. So with that root chakra, some things that can interrupt the development, you know, we might call these traumas, would be, you know, birth trauma, abandonment, neglect, difficulty attaching to an attachment figure, a caregiver, major illness or surgery, an abusive environment, and also that intergenerational inherited trauma, which we talk mm-hmm. about in our inner child episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of aligns with, like we said, with Eric Erickson, at infancy to 18 months, the conflict is trust versus mistrust, mm-hmm. right? How safe am I? Can I trust? You know, can I connect?
So trust versus mistrust. That's a wonderful way to conceptualize the root chakra. We have to trust ourselves. We have to trust our bodies. So that's a lot of work that we might do in therapy, is how do we gain that trust back? What are some healing practices we can do? You know, of course, I always go to yoga. You know, I think that's a nice way for us to build trust with our bodies, is to actually connect mind and body. Yoga means to yoke. To yoke mind and body, to unite. So that's one way that we can help with that root chakra, just to practice grounding, you know, just the act of feeling our feet in wherever we are, whether we're in a yoga practice or a meditation or just out in the world. And consider what those traumas were that I listed that are associated with the root chakra. So, you know, neglect, poor attachment, abuse in those years. Well, that's going to disrupt our ability to be intuitive with our bodies. We've talked in this podcast about interoception, mm-hmm. the process of actually knowing what's happening in our bodies. And if we've experienced a trauma, at any age in our childhood or adulthood, it can interfere with that interoceptive process. It's all self-awareness. It's introspection. Mm-hmm. You know, people ask me about, you know, how do I know which chakra is imbalanced? Well, you know, there are physical ways for us to kind of suss some of that out, but you know, I can't tell you. You have to do that introspective work. It's much more effective when somebody does the introspection and does the digging themselves.
Yeah.
And the books that I use, you know, Anna Day of Judith, and there's another author, Brenda Davies. She's a psychiatrist, and she wrote The Seven Healing Chakras. Just, you know, assessments galore in those books of where you can really dig in and look at, you know, all your developmental stages, what's going on, what has gone on in your life, so that you can really take control of the journey yourself, which I think is so much more powerful than you know, having somebody tell you where you're imbalanced. That doesn't work.
I agree. Yeah. So chakra two.
Yes. Our sacral chakra. So this is just so if we're thinking about physical locations, so our root is like our feet, legs, and the very base of our torso.
Okay.
So the sacral chakra is just under the belly button. So underneath our navel, and it is the color orange, and it's associated with our right to feel. So imagine we're moving up that developmental channel. We're getting up to, you know, 6 months to 2 years. Now we're starting to develop the, you know, the capacity for emotions.
Definitely. You know, I have to share an anecdote real quick about the color. So as I was researching for this episode, I decided to really look into chakra two, sacral, and chakra four, heart, because of the inner child association. And that's something I'm really passionate about as a therapist. So I'm researching, and I like to color code things with, you know, pretty pens and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to this certain article that tells me that the color for sacral is orange and the color for heart is green. And out of the five colors I have all over my paper, I wrote in orange about sacral, and I was holding a green pen in my hand and writing about heart. Is that
the universe likes to play?
Holy moly. I turned to my husband and I was like, you have to hear this. Like, look what I'm doing. He's like, oh, it's all in tune. Look at that. You know,
it's that subtle energy.
Wow. Anyway, so there you go. I loved it too. But when so going back to sacral, you know, it lines up again with Piaget, another huge proponent in child development and really just about human development, where we've learned about the different stages, major characteristics of our developmental changes. And this aligns right with the stage for children when they really start to get to know their world and they start realizing how their actions can cause things to happen around them. They're separate from other people. And I think in a way, when we look at that emotionally, you know, that sacral chakra talks more about gaining insight into our default reactions, looking at our deeper emotions and learning to express ourselves and set healthy boundaries. And that's what, you know, two-year-olds are all about, I hear, is setting healthy boundaries, deciding to do things for themselves, you know?
Exactly.
So it's interesting how you're right. It is very complimentary.
Yeah. And if we think about traumas that occur at that developmental stage or at that chakra, it could be, you know, not being able to identify with our feelings, maybe some enmeshment. You know, this is where it's often, this is associated with sexual abuse as well. So what do we do with that second chakra? How do we heal? Well, it's always, you know, let me say yoga again, of course, because I think that's a very healing thing, but all movement therapy, emotional identification and releases, working with boundaries, like you said, you know, treating any addictions, really engaging in healthy pleasures and digging into that inner child work.
Inner child. So our brain, we have a right hemisphere and a left hemisphere. A lot of people hear about this because the right brain is, you know, more creative and the left brain is associated with logic and reasoning. But what some people may not know is that the right brain is much more online, really, through ages 0 to 3. And left brain shows up, you know, in earlier childhood, but we're really dominant in our right brain as children. And the right brain is all about the body and sensory. That's how we make sense of the world up until that point. And when I think about inner child work and I think about going deeper into looking at our default reactions and gaining insight into our deeper emotions, I think that that does mean we bring the body and sensory more to the table to do that deeper inner child work. And that brings up mindfulness and mindful awareness and kind of bearing witness to our body's memories and bearing witness to what happens in our sensory motor processing system, which we don't just process things through our thoughts and feelings, but through our body and through our nervous system. So working with our inner child through this chakra comes down to listening and really providing for our inner child and protecting our inner child through those boundaries and gaining insight into what we need and how we can provide for ourselves and how we can protect ourselves.
That's great. That's wonderful. And this is lifelong work, this inner child work, you know, we're talking about like reparenting our 2-year-old. Yep. That we could spend a little time on that, but you know, we got to reparent ourselves at every age too, which is lots of work to be done here.
Yeah, it's fact. But the best part is we can do that.
You know.
I mean, what a blessing to be aware that it's possible to have that healing and change. It's there.
And I think the chakra system is so accessible because there are just really simple, tangible things we can do to really focus on those areas. Yeah, you're talking about doing some really deep work on reparenting our inner child, which takes a long time. And with chakras, we can also look at other tools too. We can use essential oils that help to balance those chakras, of course, meditations, visualizations, colors, even just, you know, all right, I need to balance my second chakra. I'm going to wear orange today. I'm going to use that orange pen today.
Yeah.
You know, give me those simple, like little nods to our subtle energy system just to work on bringing that balance in ways that are both big and small. So we've laid the groundwork with these first two chakras. Now we're going to move through the next five. And of course, each one is very important and has a developmental stage, but we're just going to look a little bit more closely at, you know, how they stack on top of each other. All right. Okay. So we've built up 1 and 2. Now we're up to 3, our solar plexus. It's above the navel, but below the heart, you know, right kind of at the right. Your solar plexus, you know, it's yellow. It's the sun. It's our power center. The right here is the right to act, you know? So this, of course, think about a 3-year-old, they're all about that, right? So, you know, 2 to 4 years old is that developmental stage for our third chakra. And when we think about traumas, you know, shaming, controlling, abuse, a child who now has to act as the parent. So those can be some of those traumas that we can see there. So what do we do with that third chakra? There's a lot of ways that we can help balance that out. So again, here's that inner child work, but also, you know, working on relaxation, working on balancing out that heat from the solar plexus. Yeah, solar, right? So we might want to go a little more lunar here. So we want to think about stress management, exercise, building up our ego strength. We can also find a lot of anger here at that third chakra. So we might want to work on releasing that anger or managing it, you know, maybe the help of a therapist or a group. And then working on shame, of course, always goes back to shame, right? So that's a big one.
Well, Piaget talks about same things, autonomy versus shame and doubt. We're looking at how can we kind of live into following our gut, right? Doing what we need to do and setting down those feelings of shame or working through them or working on developing our confidence versus doubting the choices we're making, right? And I think a lot of times that initiative is that exploration. That exploration is what leads to the confidence. You know, it's okay to fail, but let's go out. Let's let's see what happens. Let's try something new. Mm-hmm. And that kind of comes back again into feeling like we're independent, that we can rely on ourselves, that we're there for ourselves. And mm-hmm. yeah, it makes a lot of sense that that's also the solar.
There yes. Is. Yeah. It looks like you're rubbing your stomach right
I
now.
Was. I was. I was like hovering over my solar plexus in like a way.
Yeah, of course. Yep. It's a really important and easy one, I think, to work with, because when somebody comes in and they have a lot of anger, or they have excessive drive, or they, you know, are addicted to work and constantly on the go, boy, let's work on that. Let's bring some balance into that area. And it's again, a pretty tangible thing you can work on, but mm-hmm. we have to do that exploration first. We have to do that introspection. And that's a big thing to remember when we're talking about chakras, that when they get in balance, they can be excessive or deficient. We can have too much of this energy or too little. So then our healing practices are going to be to balance. So like increases like. If we're workaholics, we're not going to, you know, try to exercise a bunch more or do things that really create more heat. We're going to try to bring in some cooling energy. So it's all about that.
I never thought of it that way. For some reason, my mind was always like, you're deficient in these, and you've got, I've never even dawned on me that it would be the other way as well, right? That we've got to find that balance from the other end of the pendulum.
And this is a great way to start talking about the heart chakra, which is number four, because we can have, as therapists, we see excessive imbalances in the heart chakra, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. Heart chakra, number four, it's obviously located in the heart center. And here is our right to love and be loved. Mm. You know, right? I love the heart chakra. It's green and mm-hmm. it's associated with ages 4 to 7. And of course, here our traumas are, you know, rejection, abandonment, loss, criticism, grief, divorce, death, abuse. So we can have an imbalance one way or the other here. So often, you know, we think about, we don't really think about in the work that we do. Well, maybe we do. Sometimes people who have just very little connection to their heart chakra mm-hmm. and that deficiency, you know, maybe people who are perceived as cold or unfeeling. What we as therapists often see is that excess in the heart chakra. People who are clinging, people who are holding on, people who are maybe loving and not having it reciprocated, you know, mm-hmm. so it absolutely can be excess or deficient.
The idea of being connected, right? And how connected are we? Or are we living in a state of disconnection? Maybe if someone is in dorsal vagal or shut down, there's a disconnection to others, but also maybe some disconnection to ourselves, maybe some dissociation or some numbing. And I think when you get connected to that heart chakra, it can help direct that love back to ourselves, back to our body, and address those tendencies maybe to isolate or to disconnect from ourselves and from others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a rich, rich territory to mine. Mm-hmm. Especially in therapy and when we're doing that introspection as well. So what do we do to heal the heart chakra?
Well, I like to think about compassion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Joy, mm-hmm. gratitude. I think about, you know, the inner child work. This is where, for me, communicating with your inner child really can really take center stage. That idea of that mindful awareness, noticing the wounds of our inner child, bearing witness to them, mm-hmm. grounding in our adult self, and then being able to be there for that little us mm-hmm. who was once hurt or left or abandoned, mm-hmm. and really reparent in that capacity.
That's beautiful. I think those are like the big things, right, that we work on as kind of our lifetime work. Mm-hmm. And heart chakra, I mean, this is big. This is why people tend to come to us, is because there's pain there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do we work with that? And of course, you know, we all have our different approaches to it. I really like people to even just start with breathing. When we think about the heart chakra, it's our lungs there too, right? So like just doing deep breathing to get us into parasympathetic, like you said, mm-hmm. you know, when we're thinking about polyvagal, we want to get into that place where we can be regulated so that we can do this really difficult work. Mm-hmm. So it could be something as simple as breathing exercises to get us in our bodies. And then it can be that really complex work of reparenting the inner child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's move up the ladder here. So we're moving from the heart to the throat. Chakra 5 is our throat center. Pretty obvious where that's located. And the right there is to speak and mm-hmm. to be heard. So ages 7 to 12 years old, this is where, you know, we're developing that voice. And some of the traumas can be mixed messages, lies, verbal abuse, criticism, having, you know, authoritarian parents, having maybe some alcoholism in the family, that there's some secrets. So anything associated with communication really lives mm-hmm. there. Well, and practicing using our voice is a big part of yeah. therapy, of doing that self-exploration. You know, we talk about speaking our truth, and mm-hmm. that means that we have to know what that is, and that yeah. we have to be able to feel safe enough and confident enough to articulate it. And mm-hmm. so it's that right to speak, but also to be heard. So, you know, often it's just, you know, asking that we're heard and using our words. We do a lot of communication practice in therapy, especially when it comes to interpersonal relationships and couples work. Mm-hmm. So there's so many things we can do. That's very corrective, just to have the relationship with the therapist where you can use your voice and not be, you know, shamed or afraid that you're going to say the wrong thing. It's, you know, be
a therapist. Healing.
Yeah.
It's so healing. Yeah. Because I mean, sometimes, you know, I explain therapy as one of the places where exactly you get to first maybe practice that skill. Maybe this is mm-hmm. the first time in the space you can speak your authentic mm-hmm. truth, and it is held, and there's a safe container in which there mm-hmm. isn't judgment, or you don't have to edit or alter it, what you need to express so that other people are okay. Mm-hmm. And yes, I think practicing, you know, I don't know how many treatment plans I have seen where speaking your inner truth is mm-hmm. one of the main goals, mm-hmm. because so often we quiet our voice and we shift what we need to say or who we need to be in order to have that approval or that support of others. Mm-hmm. So I would say heart chakra and throat chakra show up a lot in my therapy sessions, at least.
Right. Yeah. You talked about, you know, having a dialogue with your inner child. Well, that really mm-hmm. needs to come from both, you know, heart and throat, because we need to be able to speak that, but also to hear and to listen.
Yeah.
And that's another, you know, when we've got an excess throat chakra, some people who really like to hear the sound of their voice, you know, myself included, maybe sometimes need to work on a little silence here and there.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can practice maybe some silence, some meditation, some discernment in our speech, you know, passing it through those gates. Is this necessary? Is this kind before we speak? So there's so much here that we can dig into, especially when we're looking at our therapeutic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
All right, love it. Moving up to our third eye. So chakra 6, our brow center, located right between those eyebrows at the forehead. And that is our right to see and be seen. So mm-hmm. here's adolescence. We're teenagers. We're starting to see the world for what it is. And there can be a lot of traumas there, of course. We maybe see things that don't make sense to us. We see hypocrisy. We might be invalidated. You know, if we're especially growing up in a traumatic environment, you know, the things that we're seeing and witnessing can be very detrimental to our growth. So healing practices, maybe, you know, going within, meditating. That's one of the, you know, big things we can do for that third eye, is to meditate, to, you know, hold that dual awareness. I know one of your coping strategies is coloring.
Ah, yes. I do love to color. I like to get myself, was actually coloring just recently again. You know, I pick it up and I set it down, but I had the urge last weekend. Mm-hmm. So I pulled out my coloring books and I started, yeah. you know, just coloring
visualization. It's a very visual thing to, mm-hmm. we can see it. It's tangible. Drawing, coloring, these artistic things. It's a way to help mm-hmm. bring balance to that because, you know, we are looking at, we take in a lot. There's a lot of input through mm-hmm. our eyes and, mm-hmm. you know, how do we discern all of that? Well, sometimes we need to just, we need to just play instead.
Yeah. Which is kind of interesting because when things start getting a little bit too much, that's when I find myself at, you know, MSCR in pottery class or signing up for that weaving class or pulling out those coloring yeah. books.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I mean, and that's too, when I think about developmental stages, like adolescence, that's a time when we really express some creativity. And I think then we cycle through this again in our lives at certain points, you know, and it can be very useful to stop and think about, you know, am I being seen? What am I seeing? How do I bring some balance to that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we're getting into those higher chakras now that are a little bit less, you know, we're thinking about the Maslow's hierarchy. We're moving up more to like that, you know, what he terms self-actualization. Well, more into that like spiritual connection. Yeah. You know, yeah. So that third eye is very, very much related to the crown, which is the next one. And that's located at the crown of the head, or maybe even just a little bit above that seventh chakra. That's our right to know and to learn. So this is when we are in our early adulthood, you know, we start to know ourselves. But again, I think this is one that develops, you know, throughout our lives, of course, as they all do. So some of our traumas at that crown chakra might be, you know, education that doesn't really allow us to be curious, things that are forced upon us, perhaps forced religiosity, having our beliefs invalidated, maybe just having to be blindly obedient, being fed disinformation, lies. There are many abuses that can occur here. And the ways that we can heal then is to do our own learning, to study, to meditate, to do self-introspection, reflection, maybe examining our belief systems, you know, through therapy or with a spiritual guide. And then one that I think is really important is to develop our own inner witness. So this is the work, right? This is the work of that dual awareness of being aware of what's happening with our minds, our bodies, and then being able to witness that from a place of compassion, but also some detachment.
The powerful change I see within my clients, or I see within loved ones who utilize the knowledge that is out there in the universe to create change for themselves. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any greater transformation, and mm-hmm. it's so powerful when mm-hmm. it does happen. I mean, it's really something special to behold.
And this is a lot of other therapeutic theories, you know, have different ways to conceptualize this. You know, it feels very Jungian to me, you know, that this is, we're talking about like this kind of collective unconscious that we tap mm-hmm. into, and just that interconnectedness that exists at the crown chakra. And if we all took time to develop that and to have those, you know, what I would consider like, you know, spiritual relationships with self, that's when we can be those units of peace, when we can integrate mm-hmm. all of these, our mind, our body, our spirit, our energy, and be that, you know, walk through the world as that unit of peace that can then connect with others. And we make that change, we change ourselves so that we can help change the community that we live in.
When people are, you know, looking inward and bearing witness to what's happening inside of them and developing that insight to see their role in what they can change, you know, that wisdom, the looking back on our life and seeing, you know, the failures and the successes, and developing that insight into understanding the role we've played and what we've experienced, and also the insight of how we can change and how we can look at our default reactions and grow and be different, and then mm-hmm. experience our world differently.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is just one way. This is a path to self, a path to discovery. And, you know, like you said, yes, you're learning about other, you know, external things, but you're also doing this internal work that's so important. And that's what this is all about. That's why mm-hmm. we're here talking together, because that's what we do, is we help other people on that journey, on that path to self. And this is just one other way that we can look at it. And it's a way that I think makes a lot of sense to me. So I love to use it. So as we've gone through this journey, we talked about all the different colors associated with each chakra. And I wanted to just, you know, mention that we left off with green at the heart. Our throat chakra is blue. Our third eye is often like a deep indigo or purple. And then our crown, sometimes you'll see it as purple. Sometimes you'll see it as white, like this white light at the crown. And I think just like kind of thinking about our energy as this rainbow is just a really uplifting way to conceptualize this. But it also kind of reminds us of the mystery, right? Like rainbows didn't wait to exist until we understood why they exist, right? Now we totally know why rainbows exist after a rainstorm, right? The mm-hmm. sun, all that stuff. But they were existing long before we understood the science. So when we think about the chakra system, it's maybe this esoteric conceptualization, this kind of out there way to think about our experience. But we're digging into it now in these different ways that can kind of help us understand the mystery that is our experience. So I really love that image of the rainbow. I think it really is, you know, a reminder that we don't know it all.
A reminder that we don't know it all. I appreciate that. Well, thank you, Jeannie. I hope you listeners enjoyed this episode as much as we did. Well, thank you, Jeannie. I really appreciated learning more about this, and I'm really excited to kind of see where it goes and do even a little bit more exploration.
Thanks, Jess. Thank you again for joining us on Insight Mind Body Talk, a body-centered mental health podcast.
We hope today's episode was empowering and supported you in strengthening your mind-body connection.
We're your hosts, Jeannie
and Jess.
Please join us again as we continue to explore integrative approaches to well-being.
Until then, take care.